You are listening to Something Rather Than Nothing. Creator and host, Ken Vellante. Editor and producer, Peter Bauer.
It's like, how do you even keep track of what the hell you're talking about? Is it the Red Sox or is it, you know...
That's the same thing with our family. If you don't get a word in, you're not speaking.
It's just the Yankees. The only difference, Ken, it's the Yankees rather than the Sox.
Oh, you're killing me.
That's right, Joe.
You know what? I was going to ask about your... Wait a second, before we get into the... Connecticut, so you're over more towards the west, is that right?
No, we're more east.
Yeah. Yeah, Red Sox on now. Well, I get the Red Sox on now. They suckered me into the MLB TV, so I have that on. That's a whole other thing.
Hey, yeah.
All right, this is Ken Vellante with Something Rather Than Nothing, and got a special episode here, this episode with Hawkins Band, and just a great combination. Three brothers in the band, Joe, Josh, and Rick, and the lead singer goes by Hawk. You'll be able to learn about them and their interests. But first of all, I just really wanted to welcome each one of you to the first, you know, full band Something Rather Than Nothing podcast. Thanks for hopping on, guys.
Thanks for having us.
It's our pleasure.
Thanks a lot, Ken. We appreciate this, man.
Definitely a pleasure.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. Hey, big question. We start off, try to find out, you know, what you were like when you're younger, whether you're artists, playing instruments, whatever. So what were you like as young humans? And let's start with Hawk.
I was pretty wild as a kid growing up. I wasn't really into music. I loved listening to music, but I had no, I had no idea what I really wanted to do. I was always on a skateboard and always playing basketball and just getting in trouble in school all the time. And yeah, that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
it's a good musician story, right? Background.
Yeah.
How about you, Joe?
For me, I mean, I grew up just like, you know, like kind of like Hawk, you know, we were pretty wild kids, all of us. And, you know, music for me at a young age, when I was just 8 years old, you know, kind of really attached itself to me. You know, I began playing guitar at eight, and, you know, it was like, it almost gave me meaning. Like, you know what I mean? It was like one of those things where, like, it was like, where has this been all my life? You know what I mean? It just made sense when I picked up a guitar, you know, even that early on in life. You know, it started to kind of, you know, just kind of resonate with me. And, you know, it was like a lot of chaos, you know, chaos and stuff when we were kids, you know, being brothers, you know, growing up and stuff like that. But music kind of brought us together, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that connection, being a huge fan of music, and particularly with the band dynamic. Going on to Rick, what were you like as when you were younger?
Interesting question, Ken. So, man, when I was younger, I was kind of pretty much the same way I am now, in the sense that, like, you know, East Coast people, you know, we kind of talk very fast. So even as a very young kid, you know, we were talking about this earlier, I used to be talking very, very fast. And even though I was like 8 years old in school, I would talk to the adults. And I would, you know, like, they would all kind of like come talk to me and hang out. So I had this kind of like this thing of like a curiosity, you know, of like what, you know, of like maybe there's something else that I'm maybe meant to do, because I'm not fitting in with other people. And I think when I first saw piano, I had a really, really interesting experience. I saw it, and you know, usually it was a little bit different. When I went to play it, I didn't just play it and like hit the note. I played it and I closed my eyes, and I felt something like when I first played it. And I think that's like the equivalent of me saying like that's when I had like my first high, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because there's something transformative and emotive that happens when we play instruments. I think, you know, like Joe mentioned, just like us four as brothers, we were all like very, very, very crazy people. We've done a lot of like crazy things. So we were all kind of like very energetic. But I think, like Joe said, it was really the music that allowed us to harness that energy and put it towards something progressive.
Yeah, I like that. And the connection I can already hear in you describing some of those early experiences, just the kind of like that deep connection to, you know, whether it's the instrument. And, you know, a big thing I heard you say as far as meaning, you know, meaning, right? Like, you know, where do I put this energy? Where do I put this thing? You know, a lot of energy. And what about you, Josh?
Hey, Ken. So, yeah. So for me, you know, music, like starting off young, I started music at 10 years old. I actually got a guitar. I was the first guitarist in the family. It was a Candy Apple Red Squire. I got it on my 10th birthday. And Joe actually had a drum kit. So I'm the drummer of the band. And Joe was like playing the drums. He wasn't, you know, he had a little bit of rhythm. He wasn't really like actually making a beat or something, but there was something there. You could tell he's a natural musician. But like me, like I was playing the guitar, like nothing's coming out. It was like freaking noise. And then one day Joe decided to like grab my guitar and start playing it. And then like music actually started coming out of it. So like I was like, well, if you're gonna play my guitar, I'm playing your drums. So then I started playing the drum set, and it just never changed since then.
Yeah,
overall, music's just a great experience. It's what basically bonded my brothers and I together. And it's something that brothers, they argue and stuff. We do too. But we always fall back to the original connection that we all have with each other, which is music.
Yeah, I appreciate your answer. Hey, Joe, do you want to jump back in about, you know, your connection, you know, to the guitar? I mean, you know, all of you are very talented. You can hear it on the tight sound of the band. A lot of the energy that you talk about is certainly right there. Specifically, though, Joe, what about the guitar? What did that do for you? And why do you feel when you started to get into it that everybody else was starting to hear things from you, from your guitar?
I started guitar very, very early on. And, you know, as a kid, it's like, I don't know, like, I feel like if I was to start guitar like yesterday, I would have an entirely different understanding than I did when I was 8 years old. You know, I feel like, since I was eight, it wasn't like, you know, me thinking, you know, picking up this instrument, well, I got to be good, I got to be this, I got to be that. I kind of just picked it up and was able to look at it in this majestic way. You know what I mean? It was like this magical experience. And it was like, it had this like purity to it and this like rawness. You know, I didn't think too much. I just picked it up and there was no second guessing. It was like, I'm going to try and, you know, do something with this. You know, give me this guitar and I'm going to try and make something out of it. And I feel like it was probably just being so young and, you know, being able to see it as what it was rather than, you know, if I was to pick it up yesterday, maybe I would have thought, well, I want to do this with it. There was no expectations and there was no high bar. So it was like the perfect time for me to learn, you know?
Yeah, it seems like that just a strong natural connection. And I know when I chatted with you about that before, I mean, it's just readily apparent. And it's interesting to see the dynamic amongst you and the band members just kind of like gravitating towards like the instrument or the role that fits naturally.
Yeah.
And Hawk, as far as, you know, let's talk, you know, let's stick a little bit on the band formation. I mean, how'd you run into the brothers? I mean, were they playing on the street and you happened upon them or what was
that? No, I mean, kind of. So it was like, I started playing guitar when I was like 16, 17, and I started writing some songs and stuff. And then I wanted to really pick it up about a year and a half ago. So I got a little late start. not like these guys, but I went to a studio called RVP Studios. It doesn't exist anymore, but I went there for some singing lessons, and I was singing Can't You See by the Marshall Tucker Band, and Ricky heard me singing, and he waited outside, and he, when I come outside, he's like, hey, man, you have an awesome voice. Like, do you want to, like, chat for a little bit? And we talked, and they invited me to do a show with them, and we did a show, and then we did another show, and it went really well, and we decided to make it official.
Yeah, fantastic. You know, great song, too, that you were singing. Great soul and blues in that song. I'm glad you're able to meet up with them. We have this opportunity here. Ricky, I wanted to chat with you about. I know you've dealt with some health issues, and that has all, you know, obviously impacted, you know, you personally in your life, but also the band. Did you want to chat a little bit about what that's been like, and, you know, what the experience has been like for you?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's a very heavy topic to get into because of what it was. But before I do get into that, if I may, Ken, you know, could I elaborate on my side of the story
with Meeting
Hawk?
Absolutely.
You know, it's because it's kind of like more crazier on my side. You know, one day I was walking in the hallway at RVP Studio, and it was really early. It was February 2nd, right? And it was one of those days where it's like really cold. And over time, when you work in a studio and when you're around musicians, you sort of get used to just hearing music in the background, and it becomes sort of like just uncomfortable ambience. You know, it's just sort of there, like when you're at Guitar Center.
Sure.
And I'm passing through the hallway, and something happened that really took me by surprise. For the first time in a long time, I couldn't tell if I was hearing the radio or someone's voice. And that really, really, tricked me. I was like, you know, that I'm not used to hearing this. So I kept trying to peek out in the door and see if it was someone just playing the radio loudly. But what I heard was, when I heard Hawk sing, he broke out of that ambience, because even like he was playing with such raw emotion. And I think that just trying to be like aware of stuff, just trying to be present, that it happened to just hit me. I wasn't even aware of it. Him just rawly emoting in the, like outside of a, you know, inside of the room, just hit me. And I was like, all right, I'm determined to whoever this is, I had to meet them. And it was like that. So it really, really stood out to me. So having said that, to get into your question.
That was really nice, Rick. Thank you.
Of course. And we did make it official. We put a ring on it. Immediately. All right. And not to carry, but yeah. So I, around the age of 16, I was, I didn't know it, but I was, you know, going through the symptoms of a muscle disease. And gradually, my body started to degrade. My muscles started to all decrease in strength. And there's muscles in odd parts of your body that you would never really think of, like your eyes, your voice, your diaphragm. So everything for me just really evaporated. And not before too long, I became bedridden. But in that time, though, you know, I'm still praying. I'm still trusting in God. And I determined that I would walk a mile a day, even though I was bedridden. And they told me later on that was actually something that kind of like in a way saved my mobility. So yeah, just to summarize that, you know, I did have to go through the whole routine of them telling me like, Rick, we don't even know if we can even diagnose you because of how rare the disease you have is. It's a very, very rare illness. So after a lot of tests and all that, they basically diagnosed me, and I had to learn how to walk, talk, drink, eat, speak again. Everything. They told me that I would probably drive with a remote, like one of those cars that have the brake and the gas at the right where the steering wheel is, because of how handicapped they predicted I would be. But little did they know, like at least 4 or 5 years after that, I was in California skydiving. you know. So I that's kind of my mindset, and I want people. I think people can really benefit from hearing this, is that I don't believe in limitations. I did not receive any of their limiting sort of beliefs on what I could do. I knew that I was going to get better. I think I'll stop there.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's incredible to hear and to have you, you know, deal with that adversity and jumping out of plane a bit after. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure it's a fantastic story. And you know, I think there's something I can connect to in what you're saying is, I think you find it, whether it's in art or, you know, in life, in the experience that you've had, where there's always going to be a lot of people saying that, you know, you can't do something, right? I mean, these guys are in a rock band, right? So, right, like, you know, but it takes a certain kind of attitude or response, I think, in order to, you know, to get up and beyond that. So thanks for sharing that, Ricky. I really appreciate it. And it makes you know, the your story and the band story and the music even better. I wanted to see if you could, Hawk, if you could just do a little bit of a lead in on the single Lights Off, which will play in just a tiny bit. You just do a little background on the song and, you know, what's going on with it and when it was released, that type of thing.
Yeah. So, when did we release it, guys? It was like 6 days ago, 7 days ago.
Yeah. July 31st.
The 31st. Yep.
All right. So, hey, we're Hawkins. This is our first single called Lights Off. We released it July 31st. It already has, 12,000 streams on Spotify. So please go check it out. It's, Joe came up with an awesome riff for it. Ricky came up with a cool melody. All put in the same amount of work for it. And essentially it's just about like what it's like being 23 and having one night stands, you know, trying to find love.
That's rock and roll. You're rating rock and roll here. So, right.
Yeah.
So let's go to the track right now and listen to it.
All right. Sounds good.
You only come around the midnight. The lights off, dance with me until we get lost, I only see you.
that's a banger.
That is. That is. What the heck? Anybody jump in? What's it like to release a single like that? It's a great tune.
Oh, man. It's exciting. Very exciting. Yeah.
Especially with the positive feedback we've been getting.
Yeah. I mean, well, 11,000 views or 12,000 Spotify streams in 7 days is crazy for a band's first song, in my opinion. I think that's wild.
It's great to hear, and I certainly hope it continues. I sent the track to my daughter. My daughter is she's 19. She's goes to school at the University of Oregon, and she supports my podcast, but. When it comes to music, it doesn't always align with her.
Yeah, yeah.
But you guys, well, you're East Coast. You guys. You definitely align with it. She really enjoyed the song, and so yeah, thank you so much. Again, great. I hope a lot of great success with that. I wanted to jump to, you know, as you know, with the podcast is, you know, a couple questions kind of like conceptual and the ideas around you as creators. And one of those questions I wanted to start with Rick is, do you have a theory of art or can you answer what is art?
Yeah, I definitely agree with what Bob Dylan said. You know, he said the highest aspiration of art is that it inspires and that it moves. And I think that, you know, there's a book that I've been reading called the War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. And he talks a lot about this process. And for me, just like coming in creatively, it's like, you know, the artist sort of has the canvas, the writer has a blank piece of paper, the musician has silence. So I believe that even this is like my sort of philosophy behind it. When you all take it down to the very bare essentials, you have electricity. Electricity is coming into the amplifier. The amplifier is coming into a guitar and a bass. The bass is plugged into a person. The person is plugged into the soul. The soul is plugged into God, right? So there's something more that's going on. And I think that I see that in Joey's guitar playing. I think being a prodigy that he is, you just see that there's something as a musician and someone that can understand the language, you can just see that he's speaking a language that's higher than the regular person. So I think that something magical is really going on when people play music. When there's something really going on, it's you're grabbing this stuff that's coming out of nothing. You know, it's like ex nihilo in Latin, out of nothing. It's just coming out of nothing directly towards you, into you, and it's coming out of an instrument. And I think that whole process is very crazy and mysterious. And the thing is that we as a band have tried to harness that to try to tap into something to where we're able to produce amazing music consistently. And that's only through time.
Dang, that's a hell of an explanation.
Beautiful, Ricky.
No, I love the bit of that. I've asked, you know, obviously it'll be around, you know, heading towards like 50 shows, and I asked the, you know, that question a lot. But I love the component of there as far as like the kind of like the emanation or the transference of energy in your description of it. Definitely. A lot to think about. I love that description. What about you, Joe? What's art?
Oh man, it's a big question. I'm kind of, you know, it's a little bit hard right after Ricky just went into that beautiful description, but a lot of pressure here. No, but yeah. So I think, you know, what art is like, I think it's something that's everywhere. Literally, like, you know, as a guitarist and a musician, you know, you start to kind of see the world in a different way, you know, after you pick up music and stuff like that. And it's kind of like I see the patterns of art everywhere. You know, now that I understand music, it's like, you know, it's like you'll see the grain, you know, the wood grain on a table or something like that. And you'll see like that's art, too. It's like, you know, art is everywhere. I think it's, you know, that's the beauty of it. That's all I really have to say is that, like, you know, I see art everywhere, you know, living, breathing things, everything, man.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks so much. And I love all the perspectives. Hawk?
Hey, yeah. To me, art is just like, art is the only thing that separates human beings from animals. I mean, I know we are animals, but art's the only thing that separates human beings from like monkeys and dogs and stuff. You know, it's like art is the only way for people to really have an outlet and show how they feel without language, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's really all it is for me. I mean, I think art is just a way to put emotions into objects, into paintings, into sound, you know?
Yeah.
Just express one's inner self throughout many different ways.
Absolutely. Josh.
Yeah. So like my opinion on art is like, just like how music, it like it's very close to like paint, and like it all could be, it's so crazy that like colors could express an image, an idea, and sound waves could make you feel something. That to me is just amazing. Mm-hmm. How like if you put it into an image or even an abstract, you get something out of it. It becomes personal. It becomes something. It's like talking to somebody that you've never met, but they know everything about you, you know? That's how I feel like art is. It's deeper than we think, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I like the some of the mention there, the kind of the physical elements of sound. My boy Aiden, who's 17, and he plays the guitar primarily. He's into a lot of music, but when we go to live shows, he'd always notice, and I listen to a lot of styles of music, but I listen to a lot of metal live. And he was always noticing I was very much into the kind of primal sounds of like the drumming, almost like journeying drumming that could be in some kind of long extended metal riffs. And it was just, he just pointed out to me something I hadn't thought about, is kind of like how that physically resonates with your body, right? In the audience, how it physically impacts you, where, you know, my tendency is going to be more towards the intellectualization or concept, but he said just feel like you're just feeling it running through you. And it pointed out for me, I learned a lot from that.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the most beautiful things about art, Ken, is like, you know, it can, you know, transcend and do something so much more differently, you know, than many other things in this world. It's like, it kind of like just energizes your spirit, man. Like I remember some of the, you know, our favorite bands, you know, when we got to see them live, it was just like, you know, you feel like you're in a movie or something, you know, when you're watching like your favorite groups up there and, you know, the music is just hitting you, man. It just becomes like this, you know, extraterrestrial thing or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and on that too, I was wondering on music. You know, I talked to a lot of music guests, and in talking to Joe before, I mentioned I like to have music guests because we have the, you know, the song like that you have in the performance aspect. But of course, a big piece of music that has been like a huge radical and many times difficult change is, you know, with there not being live music, at least in the way that we've enjoyed it over time. Do you, and I'll ask each one of you, I'll start with Hawk. What are your thoughts on kind of like the role of music now and the and its connection to live music, you know, during a pandemic? Just kind of open-ended. What do you feel is going on?
I think a lot of us did take live music for granted, because now that it's gone, it's like, damn, you know, I want to go to a show. And like, you'd be surprised, I am I'm a huge dubstep fan. So I go to lots of dubstep shows. Like, that's like what I did for fun, you know, just always go to dubstep shows. I've actually, it's embarrassing to say, but I've never been to a rock show. I've only been to dubstep shows.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, just like music during this pandemic is the only thing. Like, I go out a lot, I hang out with a lot of people, and like, music's the only thing that like brings everyone together. It's like, we're all just sitting there at the beach and it's like quiet. Like, it is such a different feeling than if like a song we all know and love is playing, you know, like it brings us all together. Everyone's singing together. Everyone's dancing. It just, it creates connection, creates a bond between people, you know, music does. Everyone feels the same emotion, you know, whatever song is playing, everyone can feel that emotion together at the same time.
The community aspect of it too. And it's interesting that I found myself, and just to mention this, the last show I went into, and I mentioned on one other episode, was with a band called Coyote, which is this great blues soul doom metal, I would say. And her name was Sarah Bilt, the lead singer. She also sings in a soul review. She was on a podcast. I saw her open for the band Blackwater Holy Light. And I'm going to end up getting Blackwater Holy Light, the band, within the next few episodes. So I'm actually will be able to get a couple, the deliberately get two bands, the last two bands that I saw prior to the pandemic. And I think it'll be interesting to have done that and to get, you know, to get further into that, because yeah. I remember that show for me in particular so much, because I love live shows. I love metal shows, and it just sticks in my head because I know that's the last one that I saw. Now, let me just tweak the question a little bit and just open it up for Rick. If I tweak the question like this, I seen video and performance video. You've done some big shows. Hawkins has, and you know, it's clear to me both in your energy and your enjoyment of, you know, the live performance as I see it. That seems to be a big part of the band. Rick, can you talk a little bit about adjusting to, you know, you get a single out now and just thinking about live music again?
Yeah, you know, I think that given everything that's going on, I think that people are learning to, like Hawk said, learning to appreciate music way more, because it's not everywhere. You know, you can't just walk down the street necessarily as you would, you know, in Times Square and just, you know, suddenly hear music because there's no one there to hear it. So I mean, when we came out with the record now, we did not expect that it would get so viral so quick and that people would attach to it. But I think that's what it speaks volumes for, just making music that resonates with people. Like you said, like both you and your daughter like it. So that's two different age groups, two different lives, two different generations. But you can both appreciate one song because there's a melody in there that really gets you. And I think, like, for a long time, Ken, like I just feel that music has been just in a really bad state where it's become overly computerized, and that people are now swapping out like talent for, you know, looks, and just like and it goes back to this, like early on in the recording process in American recordings and in the UK, they, you know, they use tape, and tape costs money. So when you came in there, if you couldn't get the vocal take or the guitar take, the drum take in one riff, one time, you were out because you're costing the studio money. But because everything is digital now, we have a little bit more time, and we can digitalize everything to the point where you don't even need to get the take right. We can use whatever you have. So less quality has been put in there. And I think people are really getting cheated from like everything just being constantly rebooted and rebooted. They're doing the same thing with movies. They're doing the same thing in, you know, with maybe not with art as much, but more so in music for sure. You just hear, that's what looping is. That's what bringing all the old stuff back and just putting a different spin on it. And I think that's where our band comes in. I think that's what, like, live, in terms of like our live energy, when you put Hawk in a room, when you put Joshua, Joseph, and myself, something is unique is going on that's organic. And I think that is what people are picking up on our band versus the computerized version of what they're hearing now.
Yeah, and I could hear the energy, even the, I mean, there's always this thing about a studio, you know, when you get into production and studio, I mean, some things sound more energetic. They have more vibrancy to it. It's just kind of the way that it is. And I think that comes through in the song. So, you know, maybe a sense of you're trying to capture some of that.
No, but seeing us live is a whole nother ballgame than hearing us on a studio. Our live performances are, we like focus hard on energy and going crazy, and Joe ripping it up. All of us dance, all of us go strong, you know. So come see us live at some point, and you'll be like, wow, that's definitely not a studio recording.
Yeah, absolutely. And did you played even, you know, like the Mohegan Sun, right? The large, large venue out there out east. And I know eventually I'll be able to see you live. Now, one of the big questions again, and I wanted to ask, and I know you've, each one of you in your way have pointed to your thinking on this, but I wanted to ask deliberately, before going into the big, why is there something rather than nothing question, about why each of you set out to create. And I'm going to start with Hawk on that one. The question is, why do you create? Just in the sense of, do you feel compelled that you have to, you have no choice, or, you know, like a larger purpose around creation? Hawk?
Oh, I just create because I'm bored, man. No, I'm kidding.
That's fine. Like,
no, I mean, the creating is like, I've had to create, you know. Even before music, I was always like drawing in class. I was an awful student. I should start with that. I had to do an extra year of high school because I was just never like paying attention, just drawing, doing origami. I learned how to juggle, you know, just like random stuff all the time. Creative. I think it's what, and like being, I mean, skateboarding my whole life. Skateboarding is an art form, you know. Each person skates differently.
Yep.
It does different kinds of tricks and stuff. So it was like, creating is what makes life fun for me, man. So yeah, I definitely feel compelled to create. There's nothing else I want to do. Like, what are you doing if you're not like creating something? You know, you're just like, you're just strolling through life until you die. Like, that's pretty whack.
Yeah.
And like, I want to leave my mark, you know,
absolutely.
Before life is over. Like, the only thing that stays are the things that you create.
Absolutely. Huge. And even your first answer, you know, like, you know, it's something to do.
Yeah, there's some truth to that.
It's completely, completely legitimate. How about you, Rick? Why do you create?
I more so because I need to. I think that there's some kind of rush that I get, you know, from just starting with nothing and then figuring out what it's going to look like in the end. You know, that's really, for me, is that there's just a huge rush in that.
Yeah. Josh.
Yeah, so like, I've never done any drugs. I know you hear a rock band. And I would have to say the best high is creating a song out of nothing, out of the blue, channeling each other's energy. There's a connection there. Sometimes even alone, you know, like if I'm writing something alone, just the pure rush of just creating something. I've been hooked on it ever since.
Josh is right, because I have done drugs and it's still a better high. He's right.
It's still an incredible high, no matter what. And Joe?
I think, you know, without creation, a lot of us musicians would probably be insane. You know, it's like, you know, it's this relief, man. I can't tell you. It's like you get all this energy in your mind. You hear a sound, you hear this, you hear that, and it's got to come out. You know, I'll have music like literally wake me up out of sleep, man. You know, I'll have these dreams and stuff like that where I'll hear a song, I'll hear a riff, I'll hear a lick, I'll hear a scale. And, you know, I'll hear it in my sleep. I'll wake up and I'll have to jump to my guitar, whether it's like, you know, 3, 2 in the morning, whatever. And I'll jump to my guitar and start playing it, you know, record that and then go right back to sleep. It's like creation is just like a part of my daily life now. And it's just like, without it, I have no clue what I would be doing. Seriously, it's just one of the most beautiful things. Like Ricky said, you know, creating something from nothing, you know, it didn't exist. Like, for example, this song Lights Off that we made, it did not exist in the world before we all came together and made it, made the tune. It's like, you know, especially with all our roles in the band too, you know, you have Hawk killing the vocals, Rick killing the bass, you know, Josh doing an amazing job on drums, you know, and, you know, me adding my guitar elements. All of that, man, is just the most beautiful thing. Once you get us together and we're all creating in our own unique way, it becomes something entirely different. And that's a really beautiful part of art and creation, man.
Yeah, I appreciate your comments and each of your comments around that. I think, you know, just actively now, you know, within in the midst of this interview, realizing that, you know, it's great to hear the different components of some of these, you know, questions about creating art, and to hear the different angles from, you know, from the band. And it all comes out, you know, with the same song, right? It comes out with the same, you know, a result. And as far as the big question here is, why is there something rather than nothing? I mean, you've heard the podcast, and you know, I know Joe, in your answer, you just, you know, alluded to that. But I want to give you each the opportunity, just kind of to kick around the big question as well, is why is there something rather than nothing? And I'll start with Ricky.
Ken, I've noticed that you've always given me all the big philosophical questions.
Ricky, you're the right guy for that. So
But Hawk gets to talk about skateboarding, EDM, dubstep. I get like, why is there death? Why is there?
Why is there? Hey, let's try. Hey, Ricky, why is there evil in the world?
Well, if I have to answer this, one of the things I love about your podcast, Ken, is because it is, it is a philosophical question. And if I'm not mistaken, that comes from the philosopher Gottfried Leibniz. Leibniz, yes.
See, Ken, you're on the right track with asking Ricky this one. I told you, man.
Okay, all right. So essentially, it deals with the nature of reality, you know, and we know that we exist because we're self-aware, right? So we're in reality, so we're in something. So therefore, something is there rather than nothing, nothing being nothingness, no universe. We know that through the Vilenkin theory, that any universe that exists has to come in ex nihilo, out of nothing. So our universe has come out of nothing. Now, why is that? I think it's because there's some type of contingent factor on the universe coming into play. And I think that it's evidence that one can rationalize and say that, well, there's a causative agent that willed it to be so, right? Which would be evidence for God, there being something. Now, on an atheistic worldview where that doesn't exist, you know, that's just it's just really a cosmic accident that just sort of happened and stormed together. So really, depending on one's worldview, you have those kind of like two sort of options to look at.
Well, and thanks, Ricky. You see, and then I'll say for the rest of the guys too, hey, I mean, the great answer. There's a reason why we're asking these right off the beginning. So,
I'm Ricky Frank. Welcome to my TED Talk.
Joe, why is there something rather than nothing?
I don't know, man. I like playing guitar. No. I would say, you know, again, like you said, I kind of alluded to it before, but like, you know, for me, you know, music is something that gives me that feeling of like, why is there something rather than nothing? Because I feel like us as humans, man, you know, everyone has to have something. And whatever that something is that thing that makes you tick and makes you go on, whether you're an artist, whether you're, you know, whether you, you know, paint, whether you do this or that, you know, there always has to be something to us, you know, individually that kind of makes us tick. And for me and the guys, it's always, you know, whether it's, you know, Hawk skateboarding and doing music and this and that, there's always something, man. And I think for us, it's just like, once you get us together, dude, and we're playing music there, it's like that harmonious feeling where it does feel like there's something there, you know. It's like it gives you that purpose, man, you know.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that answer as well. What about you, Josh? Why is there something rather than nothing?
So I'm not gonna give an answer like Rick did. That was phenomenal. But my perspective would probably be that we are all nothing until we find that something, until we find that purpose. You know, yeah. It could be music, it could be cooking, it could be, you know, a mother raising her children. She gets something out of it. You know, you create that purpose for yourself,
yeah,
to become something versus out of nothing into no existence. You know, you give yourself
the like a moment to become something greater than you normally would be, you know?
Yeah, could you imagine like what it would be like, you know, living in general without like that certain thing in your life that you do? You know what I mean? It would be really, really difficult, you know, like for us, for example, a band without music, you know, what would that be like? You know, it's just a very big thing, you know?
We'll just have a,
like a rock dog without a bone.
Yeah.
And Hawk, ultimately, why is there something rather than nothing?
To be honest, Ken, I have no idea what that question means.
Hey, you know what? You know what the thing is? You know what the thing is around this question too, and it's fun. And I'm glad you mentioned that, Hawk. I mean, one of the things is if you look in the Buddhist tradition, there's certain questions like basically when you ask the questions, it's like, don't bother asking. So it's like, where did the universe come in? Where does something rather than nothing? You know, like, there's okay, questions that they say right off the bat, at least within Buddhist philosophy, they're saying, look, there isn't an answer we'll be able to show. So not that the question isn't important, but it's one of the unanswerables, you know?
Oh, okay. I like that.
Yeah, and so, like, there's aspects of this. And a matter of fact, on this very question, you know, just for discussion's sake, I was listening or reading a book by a scientist astrophysicist, because scientists will also approach this question of like, all right, why is there anything? Like, why do we observe anything? Why do we study anything? And the scientists say that the question is posed wrong. The question actually should be, how is there something rather than nothing, rather than the why? And so I think, you know, like, I don't think, like, on this question, and it's a fun one to kick around, there's a great tradition of being like, nah, I don't need to answer that, or I'm not even sure if that's the right question, or, you know, so it's pretty open-ended, and I use it as a good prompt, and I really appreciate all your thoughts, like all of you. I mean, some great responses. What I wanted to do here at the end, and I'll just kind of like open it up. A big piece of this is, you know, obviously listeners were able to hear Lights Off, a new single available on Spotify primarily. But I'll let you guys talk about just ways for listeners to be able to connect with your music, whether it's you as individuals, whether it's the band as a whole. I just want to make sure the listeners know how to connect with you and to get some of your stuff.
Well, first, Lights Off is available on all streaming platforms. It doesn't have to be Spotify. Yeah. But yeah, on all social medias, we are Hawkins the Band. Right, Joe? Did we fix that?
Yeah.
On all social medias, we are Hawkins the Band, but we go by Hawkins.
Sure.
So you could reach us on that anywhere if you want to hear some music. You go. Wait, Joe. Are we Hawkins or Hawkins the Band on Spotify? Are we gonna change it?
No, we should still be Hawkins on Spotify. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we're Hawkins. Our symbol is a little robot that I drew with a balloon, and he painted his heart on. So that's our symbol. So if you see that
painting was super.
cool. I'm glad you like it.
That's actually a Hawk's tattoo. It comes from the tattoo that Hawk has.
Incredible.
Yeah, when I was I had some issues growing up, and I was in rehab at one point, and they told me to draw my depression. And when I was a kid, I was always like, I always felt like I was like, I just wanted to fit in, and I just wanted to like, I felt like I wasn't human, you know? I just felt like I was so different from everyone else.
Sure.
And so that was kind of like my way. I was like, I drew the robot because that's like what I felt like. And he painted his heart on us. He just wanted to be human. And I added the balloon because like just to symbolize like that it was like a child. And I got it tattooed, and now it's our band symbol. So that's pretty cool. No, thanks, guys.
It's
never knew that.
Yeah. So we can look for that as well. The rest of the guys, anything you want to throw out there and make sure some strings for people to grab on?
Yeah. I think that, you know, with our music, man, the number one thing we try to do is, you know, we're a band for a reason, and we're here, you know, to make music that people in this world have never heard anything like before. So, you know, if you want to catch our music, everything we, you know, catch our music online, everything we're going to be releasing, you know, in the coming months and everything, it's all going to be stuff that, you know, we want people to like have this immense, you know, feeling and emotion towards. It's built for that person. Yeah. You know, if you feel lost, if you feel hurt, if you feel, you know, like you're not good enough, this or that, or you feel happy, or you feel sad, or this. We want to cover everything, man. So we're going to give you a lot of different vibes with our upcoming music, dance music, yeah, this, that. You know, we're going to touch on everything. So, you know, keep a lookout for it. It's going to be really tremendous stuff. You know, it's going to be different than what you're hearing, man. You know, it's a very unconventional path, but, you know, I think that, you know, that's what we're here for. That's what, you know, we feel like on the radio and the music that they've been releasing these days, it's just not good enough. You know, we have a different, you know, a different view on it. It's just not good enough. And we're here to kind of make stuff that's really going to connect with people, but also just, you know, be for everything, every kind of mood, every kind of environment, you know?
Besides the dubstep that's coming out, dubstep never dies.
Yeah, well, you know, I can definitely hear a need for it, Ken, because maybe you might have been in conversations like this, or I've heard people say this, but you might people say like, man, you know, like, what's up with music nowadays? Or, you know, how come like I think that there people are longing for something musically, but no one really brings it up because like they don't want you to know that you can get something better. I mean, honestly, like some of our friends are way better musicians that, you know, that I'll hear where like I know better rappers that are out today that can out-rap people that are filling arenas, you know?
Right.
There's people that we all know that are better artists. So I think people all naturally want something that is better. You know, they just don't know where to find it. And I think when it comes to us, it's like we're super engaging. So if you want to message us in our social media, talk to us, like we're there all the time. We will talk.
Yeah, we will always answer any fan, anyone that wants to talk, argue, give us some hate. I love it. Give it to us.
Hate on us.
Hate on us.
But
Joe's right. I want to emphasize that a little more. Joe's right, yeah, that not all of our songs are going to sound like Lights Off, and that not all of our songs are going to be happy. Not all our songs are going to be sad. We're gonna put out some blues stuff. We're gonna put out some harder rock songs, some more pop songs, maybe some laid back piano songs. You know, we're gonna touch on everything because these three guys that I'm working with are extremely talented, and there's millions of people that can play instruments, but there's not many people that could write good songs, you know? And I think all four of us have that ability. And so we want to touch on everything because we have so many influences, and I like so many genres of music. I like everything. So why stick to one thing? I know, like, exactly, people, yeah. I know record companies want bands to do that and stuff, but dare I say, like, fuck them, you know? I want to make everything. I want to make whatever I want, you know?
Absolutely. I think, like, you know, especially with the age we're in, man, you know, back in, like, the early 2000s, you had to only do pop, or you're only the pop R&B guy, or you're only this, or you're only that.
They would corner you into a genre.
Yeah, now we're in, like, the age where, you know, everything.
Everybody's listening to everything.
Everyone is listening to everything. And you'll find, like, influence of everything, you know, within pop, within, you know, this, within that, you know. So, you know, we grew up listening to everything. So, you know, we want to, you know, what not a better time to just, like, take everything we've been listening to and, you know, touch upon it. Like Hawk said, we love happy music. We love sad music. We love singer-songwriter songs. We love dance tunes. So, you know, we want to be an artist that is able to, you know, kind of incorporate all of the elements we love. And everything the people love, and kind of give someone, you know, give the people something new, something different in a way no one has ever done it before.
I feel like we live in an era of the new golden age of music where, like, the independent artist can be king.
Mm.
You know, you could literally work in your bedroom, create up a song, and it could actually get on the radio.
Yeah.
It could blow up on Spotify or on different, like, medias. And you could reach so many people like you couldn't do back in the day, like Ricky was saying, with tape and all of that. You know, you had to go through distribution companies. Now you could do it all through your computer. You know, it's just, we live in such an amazing age where everybody's listening to everything. So I feel like where people are going to gravitate towards is a band that actually makes more than just one thing. You know, they're not just, they're just creating, you know, like the Beatles actually did that. Yeah. Like, if you, every album from the Beatles are all different. You know, the White Album is a collection of everything.
Yeah.
You know, you can't pin that album to any genre. So I feel like we are currently at that place where we could actually do that and probably get away with it.
And one thing I'd like to add also is that there's something different with our music that I should specify is that it's very organic. You know, there's like for example, like no record label like put us together and like you know created us. We just naturally met each other, and this is just a natural like this is the way we naturally approach music.
We just naturally ended up being three brothers and grew up together.
We all actually had a natural birth, you know.
Yeah. Oh, wait, Ken, yeah, exactly. I don't know if this is a G-rated podcast. If you just
no,
throw
this, my F-bombs. This, I always list it as explicit. Always. Okay, because you can look up and down the ranks. It's inevitable.
So I would have been way more vile. No, I'm kidding.
No. Well, that's part of my thing at the beginning of the podcast. Like, if I mention that it's a free for all, it might be a free for all. But yeah, I got to tell you, just a little bit, just in general, with the podcast, I appreciate your time. And basically the whole group, I imagine, you know, for your side, it's a little bit intimidating. For me, it's, you know, it is a great flow. It's a great new experience for me. And interestingly enough, you know, I had mentioned I'm heading towards 50 episodes, and a couple bands, metal bands, Blackwater, Holy Light, the band will be on here. So that'll happen. And then also, a band, Dirty Princess, which is one of the band members of Blackwater Holy Light, will also be on. So it's kind of cool to kind of like to have this eclectic connection, but also you'll probably hear two or three episodes in a row that are, you know, music band focused. And well, thanks. Cool. Thanks, Hawkins. Thanks for kicking that off.
Ken, not to interrupt you before we end the show. I know we never got a chance to ask you. What did you think of the song?
I thought the song was fantastic. I thought like one of the things I mentioned about the production. It for me when I first listened to it, and I don't know what this is. You guys are the expert on this, but it had that live feel, like the energy that you talk about that you put into it is like right there. The guitar was totally crisp, like the instruments. I mean, it's a great song, and it's got a hook, right? So that I think that's why you got like that initial interest. If people are exposed to it and they hear it, it's just a great song. It's got a great vibe to it, and I think that's what people are picking up on. And
thank you, Ken.
Yeah, that's
all. Thank you. I'm glad you like it.
And I hear all the different styles that you got going on. I like that, you know, myself. You know, I grew up, I'm old enough where I grew up listening to rap, right? Like, so I'm 10 years old and like rap is just coming around. I grew up outside of Providence, of Rhode Island, and that's all I listened to. And then, you know, in high school, then it's like industrial metal, then classics. You know, you end up going back in time to some of the classics much later, because, you know, when you're younger, it's like, you know, rap had this element of being transgressive and, you know, obviously industrial and metal. So I definitely love the mix of music, the mix of styles. And I'm very interested to see what you guys can do to bring those elements in, because as the little amount that I've heard, but in combination with talking to you, I can hear how that stuff is going to come out. Like I can hear those threads in your music, and it's going to be a lot of fun to listen to.
Awesome. Yeah. Stay tuned, man. We got some awesome songs coming that we're writing right now.
All right. Again, deep thanks from the Something Rather Than Nothing podcast to Hawkins, the band. Just a great discussion. Look forward to obviously chatting with you guys again. And deep thanks for joining the program. And another great wish for incredible success in the attention that's been placed on your new release.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, man.
We appreciate that, Ken. And it's been a pleasure to be on, man, and speaking with you about art and music and everything in between, dude.
Yeah, great questions. Awesome questions.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Ken, you're a fantastic interviewer, and it means the world for us, man, if you'd have us on the show, dude. And you, you know, it's like not you can't really engage many people in, as intellectually as we could you. So that, you know, you're just as crazy as us almost.
I like that. That's probably the highest compliment I've gotten towards 50. Just as crazy as yeah, I'm down. I'm down with that. I feel comfortable in that, and I appreciate it so much. Hawkins Band, very much looking forward to talking to you all again, and have a great day.
Yeah, you have a great day too. When we blow up, we're gonna give you some money for having us on the podcast, right?
You're blowing up right now. I'll send the invoice.
Sounds good.
It's all right. Take care now.
Have a great day.
Bye. You too. Have a good one, man. Thank you.